Welcome to Benefits Update. This is Natalie Choate. It's summer and it's time to have fun, so this month and next, we'll look at the funniest section of the tax code, 72T. Section 72T theoretically imposes a 10% additional income tax on all retirement plan distributions. However, the first of the 18 exceptions to this penalty is that it does not apply to distributions received after reaching age 59 and a half. So that's why it's called the premature distributions penalty, or the 10% penalty on distributions before age 59 and a half. The penalty is definitely not funny if you or your clients have to pay it. But considered as an abstract matter, it seems that Congress had to be kidding when they created this penalty and its numerous exceptions. We'll begin by seeing how the penalty operates, then we'll tackle the various exceptions Congress has created in the statute. To start with, remember that the penalty applies only to distributions that are includable in gross income. A distribution that is income tax-free generally will also be penalty-free. For example, any portion of an IRA distribution that represents the tax-free return of your non-deductible contribution is also penalty-free. Or if you receive a lump sum distribution of employer stock from a qualified plan, the net unrealized appreciation, or NUA, portion of that distribution is excluded from gross income and accordingly is also not subject to the 10% penalty. Of course, the portion of the distribution that represents the plan's basis in the stock is includable in gross income if it's not rolled over, and therefore that portion is subject to the 10% penalty. What about deemed distributions from a retirement plan? Well, this is perfectly clear because some deemed distributions are subject to the penalty and some are not. For example, if an employee is in a plan that holds life insurance on the life of the employee has to report imputed income for that life insurance coverage, and the imputed income as a result of plan-owned life insurance is not subject to the penalty. On the other hand, if you default on a loan from your employer's retirement plan, the defaulted loan amount is includable in your income as deemed income, and it is subject to the penalty. Similarly, if your IRA is involved in a prohibited transaction, the IRA is deemed to be distributed to you, and that results in both gross income and a penalty. Roth IRA conversions are a special case. Converting a traditional IRA to a Roth IRA generates gross income equal to the conversion amount. Even though a Roth IRA conversion is includable in gross income, it is not subject to the 10% penalty. However, if a person converts an IRA to a Roth IRA, then takes a distribution from the converted account within 5 years, while still under age 59 and a half, that person will owe the penalty on that Roth IRA distribution, even though the Roth IRA distribution is not includable in his income, because he already paid tax on it at the time of the conversion. If it weren't for this rule, it would be very easy to get money out of your IRA with no penalty. All you'd have to do is convert it to a Roth IRA, then take a tax-free distribution from the Roth IRA. Here's another special case. Corrective IRA and 401k distributions. If you make an excess IRA or 401k contribution, but then you take the money back out of the IRA or plan by a certain deadline, that's a corrective distribution and it is not subject to the 10% penalty. However, if you take a corrective distribution, you must also withdraw any earnings that the excess contribution earned while it was still in the plan, and those earnings are includable in income and they are subject to the 10% penalty if you are under age 59 and a half. I told you this was funny. Let's now turn to the specific statutory exceptions that Congress built into the code. Many of them sound like hardship exceptions. That's why it's important to remember there is no hardship exception as such. Unless you precisely meet the requirements for a statutory exception, no sad story will get you out of paying this penalty. Just my favorite example of that, there have been several cases where an underage 59.5 individual was in jail for non-payment of child support. And the only way these people could pay the child support and get out of jail was to take money out of their retirement plans. And the court held that these folks still had to pay the 10% penalty because there's no statutory exception for imprisonment. There are 12 of the specific statutory exceptions. Today, we'll look at the four exceptions that apply to all kinds of retirement plans and IRAs. Next month, we'll look at the exceptions that apply only to particular types of plans or IRAs. The first exception that applies to all plans is for death benefits. All death benefits paid by any type of plan or IRA are exempt from the penalty, regardless of whether the deceased participant was under age 59.5 and regardless of whether the beneficiary is under 59.5. This exception sometimes creates confusion in the case of a surviving spouse who is under age 59.5. The surviving spouse can withdraw as much or as little as he or she wants to from the inherited plan with no penalty because those distributions are considered death benefits. However, if the surviving spouse rolls over the benefits to his or her own IRA, at that time the benefits cease to be death benefits and they become the spouse's own plan. Thus, the surviving spouse will, after doing a rollover, will not be able to take any money out of the rollover plan prior to reaching age 59.5 without either paying the 10% penalty or qualifying for a different exception. The second exception applicable to all plans is for distributions that are part of a series of substantially equal periodic payments. This is the most significant exception for planning purposes, and I've covered it in my July 2007 written column for MorningstarAdvisor.com, so I won't discuss that one here. The third exception applicable to all types of plans is for distributions to pay deductible medical expenses. You can take medical expenses as an itemized deduction on your income tax return to the extent such expenses exceed 7.5% of your adjusted gross income. The good news is that if you do have deductible medical expenses, you can use this exception to the 10% penalty even if you don't actually itemize your deductions. The bad news, though, is that taking a plan distribution will increase your adjusted gross income. And that, of course, reduces your medical expense deduction because it increases the amount and you have to get over the 7.5% threshold. So what Congress is saying here is that no matter how sick you are, if you want to use this exception to pay no penalty, you have to perform a circular math calculation to figure out the exact amount you can withdraw penalty-free. The last exception that applies to all types of plans is for distributions attributable to the participants being disabled. We have some guidance on what disabled means, and we'll look at that, but there is absolutely no guidance on how you determine whether a distribution is, quote, attributable, close quote, to such disability. Let's look at the definition, though, of disability. The code defines disabled as being unable to engage in any substantial gainful activity by reason of a medically determinable physical or mental impairment, which can be expected to result in death or to be of long continued and indefinite duration. The IRS regulations contain a long list of absolutely dreadful things that can happen to you, like having all your limbs fall off or your head implode. It really would have been nice if the IRS could have said in the regulation that if you have one of these horrible, terrible things happen to you, that definitely means that you are disabled. But the IRS couldn't quite bring themselves to say that. So instead, the regulation says that these conditions, quote, ordinarily, close quote, but not, quote, in and of themselves, constitute disability. So if you have the misfortune to suffer, quote, damage to the brain, which has resulted in severe loss of judgment, intellect, or memory, you may be able to get a job at the IRS because they say that that does not necessarily make you disabled. Next month, we'll look at the remaining eight exceptions to the 10% penalty, the ones that apply only to certain types of plans. Until then, enjoy the summer. This is Natalie Choate for MorningstarAdvisor.com.